Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There's a war of words going on between Josh Jacobs and Tim Settle. More intrigue for Sunday's game. Tim Settle said they're going to be very physical with Josh Jacobs. And Josh Jacobs says he anticipates a physical game, and we go and see. Drama.
Okay.
Drama ahead of Lambo on Sunday. I love me some drama.
So I was like, there's no way this can be, like, substantial.
Tim Settle, bulletin board material to Josh Jacobs. If Josh Jacobs runs for 150 yards, you know who I'm blaming on Monday? Tim Settle.
Mm-hmm.
Why poke the bear known as Josh Jacobs? I guess he's a Packer. He's not a bear.
Good call.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Dan Orlovsky and Harry Douglas listed their top five quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL. They had C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins at number one. Number one, better than any single quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. It's amazing how we talk about this all the time, how quickly things change in sports. A lot of people have these, you know, opinions. Well, I need to see more. You know, they're like slow moving ships where it takes forever to turn around on an opinion. Nico Collins, before the start of last year, was one of a few receivers that were ranked at the bottom of the NFL for the worst receiver room in the NFL. Mm-hmm. No one knew who Nico Collins was outside of Houston and Michigan and Ann Arbor at the start of last season. And then now, suddenly, he and C.J. Stroud, according to Orlovsky and Douglas, are the number one quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. You know, to be able to do that in a year. And then Nico didn't even play this last game, didn't play the last three quarters of the game prior to that. So to do that in a year and six games is pretty miraculous, I think.
Yeah, the turnaround's unbelievable. We knew just kind of the projections and what we were watching in terms of the ascension of CJ. But I think it's been an unbelievable transformation as it relates to Nico, and maybe a lot then relates to the fact that Nick drafted the right guy, the quarterback just wasn't the right guy for him, and then when he got to CJ, they had, which they talk about all the time, that chemistry. You look at the numbers, and it's unbelievable that you can't argue with the fact that these two should be the number one duo in the NFL. Nico's numbers were through the roof. Unfortunately, the injury sidetracks him. But the chemistry that they have, the off-script plays are where they make their money because, yeah, he can still hit them on the long ball, and he hits them on the money plays like the out route on the third down play in Indy that sealed the game. But the main, you know, money makers for these two are just off script when CJ gets out of the pocket and Nico knows just where to go. And then after the catch, he gets so many extra yards after first contact because of his size. I think it's the premier duo in the NFL, and it's fun that we're going to get to see it for a long period of time.
So no problem with Stroud Nico number one.
No, I'm trying to think. You know, you can't go with like a Mahomes Kelsey because Kelsey's really been underused this year
and not a receiver. I don't really love the pigeonholing of receiver either. But they did very clearly say receiver, and you're right. Like I wouldn't have Mahomes Kelsey ahead of Stroud Collins even if we allowed it.
No, if the Bengals were better, you know, as a team maybe. But look, the Burrow Chase thing you can't argue with. You'd love to put Justin Jefferson in this conversation, but Sam Darnold is not the kind of quarterback that's going to demand the kind of respect to be on a list like this. Philadelphia, the two guys, kind of they share the wealth so much, and AJ Brown's been out, so it's tough to go there. You can't go Tyreek Hill because Tua's been out. So I think they got it right.
Yeah, I think that AJ Brown's the clear cut number one in Philly. Like, does Devontae cannibalize some more of what AJ Brown could be? Probably,
I think so.
And then Jalen Hurts is also he's not the same quarterback as he was 2 years ago.
No,
like he hasn't been as productive as he was two seasons ago. Although I do think he's been better this year than he was last year. That's because they have a real offensive coordinator in place there. They did have Burrow and Chase number two. If there is one duo that I think could surpass or is better than Stroud Collins, that would be the one that I pointed to. But you bring up the team success, which I think is a really good point. I have a tough time putting Burrow Chase over Stroud Collins. I think those are the clear-cut top two, though. After that, you have Mayfield Evans at 3, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers at number 4, which I think that one's actually an underrated tandem. The problem with that tandem, though, is they're not going to put up the huge volume numbers because they run so much and they have the lead so much. Like, if you had Lamar Jackson throw the ball 40 times a game, I think he and Flowers are now in that tier with Stroud, Collins, Burrow, Chase. But because they're always winning and they're running the ball a ton, I think that's what that, you know, puts them further down the list. They had Darnold Jefferson at number 5. So, yeah, I really don't have an issue with it either. I wouldn't have an issue if Burrow Chase was ahead of them, because I do think that those are the clear-cut top two.
And it's kind of another kind of a kudos to Nico and CJ in the fact that Burrow and Chase have been playing together since college. I mean, they've got a chemistry that goes way back to their LSU days, to where they just have kind of just taken it to the next level, on the next level, and they keep going. These guys just got paired up together a little more than a year ago, and look at what they're doing. That's what makes it more remarkable.
It is weird to see Sam Darnold on this list, though. Like, a quarterback who was a bum prior to this year. A lot of people thought he was going to be the backup for J.J. McCarthy. And he might have been. He might have been. But even whenever Sam Darnold was named the starting quarterback, no one thought anything of Sam Darnold. People thought he was going to be bad. The Vikings were going to be bad. And here he is, in large part because of Justin Jefferson. But Darnold is playing at a high level on this list.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm with you. You know, and I've always been sympathetic to Sam Darnold because of how many coordinators and head coaches he went through in his first 5-6 years in the league. But I thought that at this point in his career, he was who he was always going to be, which is a backup that could maybe be serviceable in a starting role for a couple of games. And to his credit, he's playing out of his mind right now with a really, really good coaching situation with a ton of talent. And he's not even eligible for most improved player.
Yeah, I know that's weird.
It's just stupid.
Really, I don't love how they did that. Josh Allen doesn't really have a receiver yet. If he and Amari Cooper, like, click, maybe they could crack this top five. Tua's hurt. Tua and Tyreek probably are on this top five if Tua's healthy. Rodgers, Garrett Wilson?
Maybe.
Not a terrible pairing.
No, he has almost had to force feed it to Garrett Wilson to be successful up to this point until getting Devontae.
I think Wilson leads the NFL in targets, though.
Yeah, well, and remember, there was...
Maybe that's to your point.
It was like week one or week two, and Garrett Wilson had kind of like the stink eye when they were asking him about the fact that he wasn't getting as many as he thought. And the next thing you know, I think he got like 10, 11 looks the next game.
New England, no way. Baltimore is on the list. Pittsburgh, they don't even have a quarterback. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Deshaun in Cleveland, absolutely not. Indy's quarterback situation's a mess. Titans quarterback situation, a mess. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is a mess. Their best receiver is probably Brian Thomas, but nowhere near this top five. Chiefs' best receiver might be Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Like he's been playing pretty well.
I was thinking Goff and Amon St.
It's not a bad one.
Ross St. Brown, because of the fact that, you know, that I think Goff still doesn't get as much credit as he deserves simply because of what the reputation was leaving the Rams.
Yeah.
But those two guys have been really, really good.
See, he would be in consideration. That duo would be in consideration for me. I know that Dak has been not good this year, but Dak and CD's hard for me to leave off this list. Mm-hmm. One that's kind of under the radar, Jaden Daniels, scary Terry McLaurin.
Oh, yeah.
That one's not so bad. Yep. I think Caleb Williams is on the come up, too, with DJ Moore. I don't think that's a terrible one.
Yeah, he spreads it around a lot too, because he's got DJ Moore and he's got Roma Dunze, and he's got the Keenan Allen connection early on was getting going until Allen missed some time.
Yeah, DJ's been the focal point of those three though. But you're right, they are super deep. Kirk Cousins, Drake London, no. Saints quarterback hurt. Andy Dalton nowhere near this, even though he is the Red Rocket. Brock Purdy. Purdy's got a couple of receivers with Debo and Ayuk.
Yeah, but I mean, Ayuk got off to a slow start after all the contract stuff, and Debo's more used as a running back with Christian McCaffrey out.
That's a little disrespectful. Purdy's in the top five in the NFL in passing.
But I think that from a Debo standpoint, they move him around so much now that people don't really just look at him as a wide receiver one or a big wide receiver guy. They look at him as like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, maybe more so with McCaffrey out, but he puts up some. He had a huge game this past week, or was it 2 weeks ago? I can't remember. And then Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison, not
too soon.
And also probably too inconsistent from the Kyler point of view. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's time for us to win you some money. BZ Money, we've been dominating. 2-1 last week. We're up to $1,100 in our bankroll. We're going to give you money next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, hold on for one more segment and then get to mybookie.ag. If we say something or you hear something that you think you're going to capitalize on, go to mybookie.ag and put some money down on the game that you choose to or the games, because it's the best place to do it, in my opinion. I tell you to go there all the time and do it because of the fact that they take care of you, the customer, in many ways as they can. And they're doing it again right now with a double your first deposit deal that they have going on if you use our promo code BET975. They're constantly going to ask you if you have a code. When they do, always put in BET975. You'll reap the benefits. If you're signing up for the first time, you put in our code, and you put money in your account up to $1,000, they're going to double what you put in, and that instantaneously means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. They've got all different things that they've got going on as well. They've also got a tiered system right now of rewards called MyBookie Plus. If you get involved in MyBookie Plus when you sign up, the more you use MyBookie, the more you'll climb tiers and get better rewards and better opportunities because of your loyalty. It's fantastic. And when there's no games going on or you feel like casino games, live dealers always standing by for poker, blackjack, and so much more. Always remember our promo code BET975 and use it at the only site I tell you to use. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
We've been dominating, actually. Big Voice Guy knows nothing. We were 2-1 last week, $45 for you. We're up to $1,100 with our bankroll. Mr. Gow gave us $1,000. Brian continues to be our leader at 7-3, which is scary. It's like the blind leading the blind. I'm in second, just one game back out of first place. I'm only one game back out of the top spot at 6-4. And then Blankers continues to bring up the rear, a distant last place, half game back, at 5-4-1. All right, Blankers, what's the first game you're selling to us on BZ Money?
I got to... computer just froze. I got to get to my list.
Uh-oh.
Why don't you start the first one?
This is the kind of behavior that finds yourself in last place.
I got it.
Easy money.
Okay. We just got done talking about the fact that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have quite a connection. Offensively, they have been on fire. They've been lighting up the scoreboard, putting up a bunch of numbers. And I believe that going into Cleveland, they're going to continue to do the same thing. We know that Cleveland looks like they're starting a fire sale. Even though they get Nick Chubb back, they still have Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and they refuse to sit him down. They got rid of Amari Cooper. I don't believe that their offense has a whole lot, and I don't believe that their defense can do enough to keep them in this ball game. Cincinnati's given 5.5. I think Cincinnati wins by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit hesitant when it comes to divisional games and a road favorite. That said, I have Cincinnati winning this game by 10. Mm-hmm. So I'm on your side of history here. How much? Okay. We don't have Brian today. We're not going to let B-Rod get in on our money. We'd be foolish to do that.
No, he only wants to talk about Division 1 AA.
How much money do you feel like Cincinnati's going to back this up?
40?
Okay.
You okay with that?
I am okay with that. Right, $40 on the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, first game that I'm going to sell to you will be the Philadelphia Eagles, that jabroni Nick Sirianni. He's headed to Jersey. It's kind of his old stomping grounds, I guess. I don't know. With a name like Sirianni, you would think it would be. I think the Eagles kill the Giants here. Saquon Barkley going back to New Jersey to take on the Giants. I think he's going to feast. I think this is going to be a Saquon Barkley revenge game. Jim Mara is going to be so sad watching Saquon Barkley and the Eagles run all over him. Giants are getting 3 points at home. I just told you how hesitant I am about divisional games and road favorites, but I'm not here. Eagles are going to roll the Giants to the tune of double digits.
Yeah, I feel good about this one, too. I mean, you know that the Eagles are coming in there wanting to do this for Saquon, and you know that Saquon wants to have a big game. I think he's a little bit naive to think that they're not going to boo him, which he said when they asked. He thought about his reception coming back to the Giants. There's no doubt he's going to get booed. But I think that they have the much more dominant offense and the better team. I think they're going to roll them. They're going to win by much more than a field goal, and I like the Eagles as well.
All right, how much do you want to bet? 40 here?
Sure.
All right, $40 on the Eagles to beat the Giants. Brian sent us some picks, so I'll be his proxy. First one that he wants to sell to us, Falcons at home giving 3 to the Seahawks. How do you feel about this one?
To me, this is kind of a do or die for Seattle. Seattle's been petering out. I think they're going to come in. They're going to come in hungry. They're going to try and get that defense situated quickly. And I think that the one thing we know is McDonald is a defensive-minded coach. He has some decent defense. But Atlanta's been playing very well lately. And Cousins and Drake London and the fact that they've been getting the running game back and getting a lot more usage than I think they had been previously. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Atlanta just... The 3 points you normally get at home basically tells me this is a pick 'em game. If I was to pick a winner, I'd stay with the home team. I'd take Atlanta.
I stayed away from this one. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a field goal game either way. Even if the Falcons win by a field goal, they don't cover the spread. Right. This is one that I faded entirely.
I'm totally fine with that because I think, like I said, it's going to be a very close one-score game within a field goal, so I'm good with that.
All right, let's DNP it. DNP, the Falcons home for the Seahawks, -3. All right, second game you're selling to us.
Okay, second game that I've got for you is the Jets at the Steelers. And no matter who's playing quarterback for the Steelers and how many receivers are disgruntled with Pittsburgh, their offense is terrible. And no matter Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I don't feel like their offense is going to put up a lot of points. Their defense is good, but I think that the Jets are going to be riding that high of getting Devontae Adams. They're going to want to show off their new toy. They're going to want to get the offense going. And a game where Pittsburgh is, again, you don't like the fact that Pittsburgh is at home as a dog, but at the same time, I like the fact that there's way more talent on the Jets than the Steelers. I'll take the Jets to beat the Steelers by about a touchdown.
I faded this game. I think the Jets win by 3. Steelers are getting 2, so it's too small of a gap there. But I do have the Jets winning by 3. So if you wanted to throw a small amount, I'm
20.
All right. $20 on the J-E-T-S Jets. Second game, I'm going to sell Baltimore at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's defense is atrocious. They have one good half of the football. That is their offense. I do think they can score. I do, but Baltimore really good defensively. Baltimore's going to roll. Yes, Baltimore is a road favorite Monday night football game. Maybe Tampa gets up for that. I don't know. But I do not see a scenario in which Baltimore does not win this game by 10 points or more. I think the Ravens roll Tampa. Tampa's too one-sided. Baltimore is, they can do it all. So give me the Ravens over Tampa, -3.5.
I like Baltimore as well. I think Tampa Bay looks like a team that no one saw coming, but they're riding a very successful start to the season where Baltimore's playing catch-up, and they've got something to prove every single week. To kind of regain their status and prove where they belong. I think their defense is really good, and I think that their offense is starting to really click. They got Andrews a little bit more involved. We mentioned Zay Flowers and his connection with Lamar, and the fact that Derrick Henry can just absolutely run over anybody. I think the Ravens will run and pass all over the Buccaneers.
40?
Sure.
All right, $40 on the Ravens. In the last game that Brian has, he likes Green Bay -2.5 at home against the Texans.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is the Texans' defense. All those injuries in the Texans' defense, I think, are going to be a problem. Otherwise, I like the Texans to win this game. So, he's going Green Bay. I stayed away from the game for a lot of reasons. But if I'm going to go one way or another, I can see Green Bay winning simply because of the defense. I just don't feel that strongly about it.
I have Green Bay winning this game by 3. I also faded it. I don't hate this as an emotional hedge. I also think that when Brian talks about Houston teams, he can be a little pessimistic.
It's true.
See what he said about the Astros, although he's been optimistic about the Texans. I do think this is a really bad matchup for the Texans this week specifically because of the injuries that they have. Yes, you can try to blitz Love if you dare, but that's going to be a lot of one-on-one for Petrie against Jaden Reed. That terrifies me. That scares me. So I'm okay betting this for a small amount.
That's up to you,
Brian.
You hate 20
on Green Bay here?
You can do 20.
Plus, it works off as an emotional hedge.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if the Texans lose this game, well, hey, at least we won $20 on BZ Money. If they win this game, well, who cares? We only lost $20 on BZ Money.
Yeah, no, and I think you hit on it. We've talked about it previous to this segment in the fact that I just believe that if the Texans are at full strength on defense, they are one of those teams that can just absolutely put Jordan Love in a very uncomfortable situation over and over again with their pass rush and the fact that they can get into the backfield and cause him to make mistakes. I think that you're losing Al-Shaair, who is the heart and soul of that defense. I think the fact that you don't know what Autry's going to give you The D-line in the middle is a little dinged up, too, and I think that's going to cause some problems for the Texans stopping the Packers.
All right, I got $40 on Cincinnati, minus 5.5 on the road at Cleveland. We got $20 on Green Bay, minus 2.5 at home against the Texans. $40 on Philly at the Giants, minus 3. $20 on the Jets, minus 2 at Pittsburgh. And $40 on Baltimore, minus 3.5 at Tampa. We like the favorites this week.
We do.
We like the favorites.
And we like some favorites on the road, but I think that we're going to do well.
And we're also 12-9 against the spread this year. That's BZ money. All right. Are the Texans fans too quick to hit the panic button when things go bad? Blankers, half day, family duty. Tyler Boyer, 1.5 of the Rock the Mic champions, will join us next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No, Joel. Only could work a half day today. You get to Blanker's age, you can work the half days on Fridays. That's what Blanker's doing today. No, he's got some family duty, family first. So Tyler Boyer, 1.5 of the defending, reigning, undisputed Rock the Mic champions. He and Spencer Nolan of Athletically Declined Sports. Tyler, thanks for hanging out. Glad you could do this. Glad we could get you on.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited to be here. I got the call yesterday, and Joe was like, hey, you available? I said, I can be.
Yeah.
So here we are, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, it's enough about you. are Texans fans too quick to hit the panic button when things go bad? Now, there hasn't been a whole lot of bad this year for the Houston Texans. One of the best records in the NFL, 5-1 as they head to Green Bay this weekend, which should be a challenge. Packers favored in that game. But you've seen even some of the games maybe aren't blowouts, aren't convincing like you think that they should be. So do you think that Texans fans are too quick to hit the panic button when things go bad?
I think they are. I think, one thing with Houston, right, like it's been a while since we've had a team where you're confident when you go out there that they're going to be able to be in every game. And so, but one of the things I see a lot of, especially on Houston Twitter here lately, is, you know, we went from last year, Bobby Sloak being like the gift to football for all Houston fans. And so, you know, the slow start, you gotta think there's going to be, you know, there's the first year luck.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that's one thing, but Bobby Sloak's a good OC. I believe he's a good OC. I think CJ Stroud is also a great quarterback. And I think when you put those two together, you're not always going to get perfection. Nobody is that perfect. And so it seems that with the slow start, there's been a lot of people being like, hey, like, you know, why are we having these struggles? Is that Bobby Sloak? It's Bobby Sloak's fault. Let's throw the blame and hit the panic button. And it just, I don't know. It just seems a little premature.
Yeah, I've seen that with Sloak too. That, you know, the play calling isn't what you want it to be. You look at some of the like the total yards per game, DVOA, points per game. It's funny, the yards per game much higher than the points per game when it comes to the Texans. So maybe that factors into, you know, Bobby Sloak's pretty good at moving the football, but then you get closer and closer to the goal line, it's like he has some problem drawing it up or some problem getting some points. That, you know, there's kind of a void there when you look at yards per game, points per game. I think that this is like a bigger topic. Like, I think that when you look at this from like a bigger perspective, I think the Texans fans in general are a little bit reserved when it comes to their team because they haven't had a whole lot of good.
Sure.
Like, franchise history, you haven't been to a conference championship. You blew a 20-point lead. Matt Schaub, in the best year of that era of the Texans, has Liz Franck, you know, in his foot before you even get to the postseason. So I think there's a little bit of Texans battered fan syndrome when it comes to the fan base. So I think that, like, the panic and, you know, not really, because I mean, I think they appreciate 5-1. They just kind of dissect it. They kind of nitpick it. I think it stems from that.
Do you think that it also has to do with, just as Houston sports fans, we are used to getting let down, right? Like, let's be honest, since the run that the Rockets went on in the 90s, the last time we saw us not giving our hopes up was with the Astros.
Yeah, I think so. I think that whenever you look at the city as a whole, I think the Astros are the exception here. Yeah. And I mean, the Rockets, it's been a really long time since they won it. But from especially a football perspective, like the Oilers have had a lot of success, but have always fallen short, and they've lost some games where they had some big leads. Same things with the Texans. I think it's more of a professional football point of view in the city.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. But it's good, right? Like, it's a good time. Make no mistake about it. It's a good time to be a Houston sports fan in general because, I mean, you got a young team with the Rockets, obviously, so you're going to have some hype, if you will, with that. And then with the Texans, this is a good Texans football team. And one thing that, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Jeremy, when they got beat by the Vikings, a lot of panic. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of panic. And then the Bills come to town, and you beat the Bills. And one thing for me was with Stephon Diggs, it was after the game, there was a clip of him in the locker room and just saying, hey guys, like, I appreciate you for what you did here for me and for what this means, but we got work to do.
Sure.
And I think for me, that was the turning point that I've been looking for them to go, okay, we're all in. We all believe in ourselves. Let's go show what we actually can do.
Yeah, I mean, I like where they're at so far through the year, six games through the season. I like where they're at. Now, I think that there's some specific areas that do concern me. Like, we've talked a lot about, you know, this week. I don't love these injuries that the Texans have, especially in a game where you're going up against Green Bay, who has a bunch of really good receivers and a quarterback who throws the football pretty dang well, especially like Jaden Reed aspects specifically. Jaden Reed, I think, one of the best slot receivers, if not the best slot receiver in the NFL, and I think the Houston Texans have a lot of trouble defending that position. Jalen Petrie, whenever he goes up against decent slots this year, has not been very good. Christian Kirk had one of his best games this season. Pop Douglas for the Patriots, who most people have never heard of, went off against the Jalen Petrie and a lot of man-on-man coverage. And you know, the book says that you're supposed to blitz Jordan Love. Okay, well, if you do that, you're exposing your corners to a lot of one-on-one coverage. What do I feel about Petrie against Jordan Reed? Not great. How do I feel about D'Angelo Ross with whoever he's defending, whether it's Dobbs, Christian Watson, and yes, the Texans run a lot of zone, but it's a little bit more difficult to be in zone whenever you blitz. That's one of the concerns I have this week. But if you're looking big picture, and why Texans fans can be quick to hit the panic button when things are good is because you're like, to be a Super Bowl contender, to be a team that can beat Kansas City in the postseason, because I think that is the bar, even though I don't think the Chiefs have played all that well, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you have to be almost perfect at every single spot. Like, C.J. Stroud has to continue to play at the level that he has played. Joe Mixon needs to be healthy, and then when Joe Mixon is healthy, he needs to be able to have the ability to run the ball like he has shown against the Colts in this past week. The offensive line, to me, is a pretty big hindrance for this team right now. I like to look at them as a governor. Like, you put governors on golf carts so they don't go too fast. I look at the offensive line as kind of the governor to this offense. Like, a lot of people point it to Bobby Slowick, to your point. Like, well, Bobby Slowick's holding this offense back. Is he, or is it the offensive line? Because I think Bobby Slowick draws up some pretty good stuff. Yep. I think Bobby Slowick, you go back and look at some of these touchdown runs, have been really well schemed up by Bobby Slowick. Look what he did with a rookie quarterback last year. How many people knew Nico Collins nationally before last season? Yep. D'Amico Ryans is great. Yes, C.J. Stroud is great. But Bobby Slowick deserves a little bit of praise when it comes to that, too. So whenever I look at what's holding the offense back, I look way more at the offensive line than I do the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. And then defensively, I have my questions, too. I do think they're better defensively right now than they are offensively. But whenever they go up against some really good receivers, and just kind of circling back to what I was saying, how well will they be in coverage? Now, whenever you have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter getting to the quarterback, giving them less time to throw, that's going to restrict the opposition's ability to be able to kill you through the air. But that's my biggest two questions, specifically when it comes to the Houston Texans this year, is the offensive line, and then how well you can cover in the secondary. Outside of Stingley, I have no problem with Stingley.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying on all of that. My biggest question, and it has been, I think, for most of the season, and where I will put a little bit on Bobby Slowick, why has Tank Dell been absolutely a ghost?
No, I think it's fair. Go Cougs. Tank Dell was fantastic last week against New England.
And last week against New England, he was great. But as a focal point that we saw last year, he has not been the same focal point as he was. Now, is that because of teams being played? Is that because I think it has to do with getting used to having three? I mean, I think the Houston Texans are in a very unique position on paper that there are three wide receivers that can be 1,000-yard receivers potentially. Yeah. And I think that for any offensive coordinator, that can also be a double-edged sword. It can be a great thing and a bad thing because you got to spread it around. And I'm hoping that with Nico, obviously don't want Nico going down. That's not good. Is this where we really see the emergence of the Tank CJ connection that we saw from last year?
I think so. I actually think that Tank Dell's been good. He just hasn't been able to stack up a bunch of counting stats. Like I don't think that you haven't seen the volume of Tank Dell right, as to what you saw last year. And if you're looking for one specific reason as to why, I think it's the addition of Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Like whenever you add Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins is still leading the NFL in receiving yards, like there's only so much football to go around. You're also 5-1, so you haven't had to like play catch up and throw the football around a whole lot. So game script matters a lot. Like I was looking at the top five in passing yards the other day. There's only one quarterback in the top five in passing yards in the NFL that has a winning record. Why is that? Because they're losing at least half of their games, which means that they're playing catch up a lot of the time. I remember Blake Bortles had like a top five passing yard year. Why? Because their team was awful. He was throwing it 40 times a game because they were playing catch up. So I think there's a lot of factors that go into Tank Dell not having the volume that he had last year. He's the number three receiver now behind Stephon Diggs. Last year, he was one of your top two. The Texans haven't been trailing a ton, so you don't see like C.J. Stroud throwing it 40 times a game every single game. But whenever you watch Tank on film, you see it show up. Like, first half he had prior to the New England game, who did they play? They would play the Bills. Like, you go back to the first half of the Bills game, he had like five catches in the first half, and they got targeted like once or twice in the second half. So you're still seeing him on film do the same stuff he did last year. You're just not seeing it as often.
Right. And to your point, I think that's another thing that the Texans are not playing necessarily to in behind to the degree where he has to bomb it down the field and find somebody, you know, every week. Where last year it was, he'd come from behind, and again, like you had Dell down there, and you had the connection with that. You didn't have Diggs, and to be able to have those other safety nets with Diggs, right, with Nico doing his thing, that's great. But also too, that's good for the Texans that you're not having to do that.
Yeah.
And that could be another reason as to why it may be looking like, well, they're not putting the ball vertically like they were last year. You know, they're not taking these risks. No, they're just playing smart football because they can.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's a lot of Stephon Diggs. And that's not a problem, though.
No.
Because I think Stephon Diggs has been really, really good. Stephon Diggs, the addition to this team, has been very helpful. And I think can, you know, raise the bar of what the Houston Texans ceiling is going forward. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of textures weighing in on this. 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line. Are Texans fans too quick to hit the panic button when things go bad? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, sports bettors. Brian, I'm here to tell you about my favorite sports book and casino, and that's BetUS.com. Football's back, so it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sports book and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We found another Bee, Tyler Boyer, one half of Athletically Declined Sports. He and Spencer Nolan, the Rock the Mic champions. Tyler Boyer filling in for Blankers. DJ Bieniemy will be joining us at the top of the hour. Brad Nortman at 5:15. Are Texans fans too quick to hit the panic button when things go bad? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Eddie, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the Bees. Thanks a lot. You guys are very insightful. I've been a diehard Texans fan since they became an expansion team, and it is fair, you know, the fan sentiment on the Texans. And I'm just wondering, you know, we got blown out by the Vikings. What does it say about this Texans team if we go to Green Bay and we can't do it? Make anything happen.
Appreciate the call, Eddie. Yeah, I mean, the Vikings game is the one that you look at as the uh-oh. there's other teams in the NFL that are better. You hope that it's like the perfect storm of the Vikings just beating you that week and that you're able to figure it all out. I don't look at this week, and you might feel differently than I do, Tyler, but I don't look at this week as that big a deal. If the Texans go into Lambeau and they lose by 10 points, I'm like, okay, well, you didn't have Azeez Alshire, you didn't have Henry To'oTo'o, you didn't have Kamari Lassiter. You were super shorthanded against, I think, the best offense that you've played to date. Yes, Josh Allen's better quarterback than Jordan Love, but I don't think that Josh Allen has the pieces around him that Jordan Love does, specifically at spots where I think the Texans are weak. I think the Texans are weak covering in the middle of the field. We've seen that with Eric Murray. We've seen that with Jalen Petrie. Where is Green Bay best? I think Jaden Reed's their best receiver. So I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Texans losing at Green Bay this weekend for all of those reasons. Now, for all of those reasons, if they win, it's like, oh, okay, maybe I underestimated some of those things. And I already do think that the Texans belong in the upper echelon of teams in the NFL. But I would take the Texans more seriously if they win at Green Bay, despite all of the reasons I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not a big Jordan Love fan. I'll be honest.
You and Blankers have that in common.
Yeah, I heard him talking about that earlier on the show. And there's a lot of stock got put into him because of the run they did at the end of the year last year. As we know, momentum is a massive thing in sports. And I think Jordan Love is a beatable quarterback. I don't think, though, that he's in that, for me, like a Kirk Cousins area. Hmm. So he's consistent enough to where he can... He's not going to lose you necessarily a game, but I don't feel like on a consistent basis that you're going to lean on him to win you a game. I think his best asset, as you rightfully said, is Reed. I think Reed is, I mean, dude's electric. I mean, he is consistent. He knows how to find the end zone. And I think for somebody like that, that's going to be my biggest thing for the Texans. Can you guard Reed? Can you take him out of the game? Because remember, this is also a wide receiver room that's dealing with some turmoil, because your number two, borderline number one in the preseason with Romeo Doubs, he's kind of been going back and forth with some frustrations. He was asked not to come to practice recently.
Yeah, he's spinning a game.
And
2 weeks ago.
And so for me, I really am someone who reads into locker room stuff like that. How does that affect this team? If you can't get a team fully balled in and there's any type of quarrel that comes out to the public, because again, we're not, you know, in the locker rooms. We don't know what's going on there. But when it comes out to the public, I like playing those teams.
Yeah, I'm with you most of the time on that. But they just beat Arizona by 21 and Dobbs caught two touchdown passes. So it seems like they were able to get past that. Like, they're able to get over that. So I don't put a whole lot of stock on that. I'm probably higher on Love than you are. Now, how much of that is LaFleur just being able to run a really good offense and then Love's the quarterback of that really good offense? I think that's a fair point. I do think LaFleur makes his quarterback look better. But at the same time, they paid him $55 million. So it's like they must really like him. It's not all like LaFleur just being this offensive genius and they can plug anybody there. They decided, okay, we like him so much, even with the greatness and the genius that is LaFleur, that we're going to pay him $55 million a year and take up a good chunk of our salary cap. So I think it lets us know what really good offensive minds think of Jordan Love.
Yeah, and again, what do I know? We're talking about it, not coaching it, right? But for me, when I look at that, like, I a completely separate quarrel with the whole contract situation with quarterbacks. That does also have to, a lot to do with the market.
Sure.
And that's another big issue. I am not a Trevor Lawrence fan. I've never been a Trevor Lawrence fan. And that was one of the big issues I had with Trevor Lawrence. Look at what Lawrence has done. Lawrence, if you put, there was, I think it was CBS Sports put this out. If you put him side by side with Danny Dimes, they're almost the same quarterback.
Yeah, you could do that with Pat Mahomes, though, and he looks like he's better than Mahomes. So, like, yeah. Like stats don't tell. I'm a huge number guy when it comes to baseball. I'm not a huge number guy when it comes to football, because you could do the whole statistical game in football, like, all the time. You could compare Trevor Lawrence right now to Pat Mahomes, and Trevor Lawrence's numbers are better than Pat Mahomes. Who you taking? You're taking Mahomes. You're taking Mahomes every single time. You might take Mahomes over every quarterback that has ever played the game. There's so many variables when it comes to, like, football numbers. Go back to the Blake Bortles being one of the leaders in passing yards a few years ago. Like, if you're putting all your stock in passing yards, that's not really a winning stat.
But it's track record too, right?
Absolutely.
Like, what does your track record look like? You got a guy that's got multiple Super Bowls. So, in you look at Trevor Lawrence, this is a guy who came out as a generational talent. You got a guy like Jordan Love who sat behind, you know, what we're going to call a first ballot Hall of Famer in Rodgers. And in that whole situation, I feel like was completely overblown. I think there's a lot of mentorship that did go in there. And yes, rightfully so, to what they look at, yes, it is very difficult to hit on a quarterback in this league.
No doubt.
As a franchise. So you are going to invest your franchise in somebody who you feel like that is at least, even if they're 40% there. I mean, again, going back to the Daniel Jones thing, they did the same thing. They paid him a good contract, and a lot of people looked at that and go, why did they do that? Well, you know what? At least he was helping them win games at certain points.
Yeah, you do. You do have to pay the quarterback. Like, if he's good enough, then you just pay him whatever the market dictates. Largo on Twitch says, don't let Eddie, our caller, mock our show by calling it insightful. That is true. That's way too kind. We're not an insightful show or anything, but 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Mike, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Wonderful.
Man, listen, I love y'all's show. I appreciate you guys. I listen every day and never call in, but I got to say, like, I get a little frustrated right now with our Texans fans. Really, 2 points with the team right now. Number one, I would just say, guys, we have a great team, man. Chill out. Enjoy the ride. You know, we're not losing all the games we used to be losing. Even if we lose, I mean, it's going to be all right. You know, we don't have to go 16-1 at the end of the season just to be considered a good team. Secondly, is like I fully believe that if we can go into the postseason with a majority of healthy starters on this team, that we'll be able to compete with anybody out there. So chill out on all the complaining. You know, enjoy this team. They are a great team. Enjoy the product. Watch it at home. Watch it on TV at Sports Bar, go to the game, whatever it is, but just chill out without complaining as if we're not a good team. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Mike. I would stop a little short on great team. I don't think there are a lot of great teams in the NFL. Like, the Vikings have the best record. Do I think the Vikings are a great team? It's very difficult for me to call a Sam Darnold-led team great. Kansas City's your back-to-back Super Bowl champions. I think they've been anything but great. Their offense looks very pedestrian yet again. Like, for me, a great team is just completely well-rounded, doesn't have any holes. No, that's why I don't think that NFL really has great teams anymore. Salary cap era, like, leads you to not having a lot of great teams in the NFL ever. Kansas City last year won the Super Bowl. They had a very mediocre offense that kind of just did enough in the postseason, and then, like, they were able to ride a really good defense. The Texans' offensive line and then their coverage in the middle of the field defensively is why I don't think the Texans are great. Now, can they make a deep playoff run? Can they sneak their way into an AFC championship game and then you're, you know, 60 minutes away from a Super? Yeah, they can do that. I think they have a chance to do that. But I can't call the Texans a great team. I think they're a good team, maybe even a really good team. I think they're one of the teams in the upper echelon. But would I call the Texans great? I can't go there yet, no.
Where would you put the Texans as if you had like a top five? Would they make your top five in the league?
Certainly not ahead of the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings embarrassed them. Now, it was in Minnesota, yes. I can't put them ahead of the Chiefs. Like, yes, I don't think the Chiefs are great. But the Chiefs, they've won the last two Super Bowls. I can't put them ahead of Baltimore. Baltimore's playing too well. When you played Baltimore in the playoffs last year, they smoked you. Yep. Detroit's really stinking good. Like, I think we kind of lose Detroit in the shuffle a little bit. Yep. I would have Texans around the top five. somewhere in that mix. I think they are an upper echelon team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the best team. I don't think they're a great team. I do think they're upper echelon, though, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they're right there for me. They hover around five.
That's
where they're at. And I think, again, that's great. Like, if you're a fan, you want that. Now, it's great that you can put them in a top five, but does that mean that they are a great team, to your point?
Yeah, I think that's relative, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's relative to the individual. Maybe you see things in a way more optimistic way than I do, and you do think that they're great. That's fair. That's the beauty of the debate in the conversation. Do y'all think that the Texans should be elevating Dez King from the practice squad for this game? Maybe, but I mean, they're so committed to Jalen Petrie at the nickel and usually only carry one nickel on the game day roster, so probably not. Brandon T, I believe Texans fans are quick to hit the panic button, rightfully so, but even if they lose on Sunday to a good football team, the season has been a success so far up to week 7. I would agree with that. 617 talking about Tank. No, it's Tank size. They're afraid of him getting injured. Ergo, you only put him in long passing plays. Okay, they don't only use him in long passing plays. In fact, he's been used over the middle versus long passing plays. I think it's fair to call Tank Dell injury prone, though. He got hurt last year, obviously, multiple times. Missed a game this year because he was in the game whenever you were down by 27 points in Minnesota, which is minutes remaining, which is... Like, you can't tell me that they're afraid of him getting injured, and then he's A, playing when they're down by 27 in the last couple of minutes of the game against Minnesota, and then B, whenever you give him jet sweeps. And he's very, very much a focal point over the middle, so I don't think that they're afraid of getting him injured. I would make the case they should be afraid of getting him injured, though. All right, we got to step aside. DJ Bieniemy, covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. He joins us next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.